The teachers are already there. Hallelujah. They're working on it. Glory to God. Come on, God is good. Has He been faithful to you? Come on, has He done anything for you? He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You that You're with us today. I thank You that You're for us today. Lord, I thank You that You put something inside of me for the ears to hear. And Lord, we'll be careful to hear. We're not going to take it lightly, Lord, but we're going to do what You want us to do. We're going to act the way that You want us to do. We can do nothing without You, Lord, but we have You, Father, so we know that we know that we know that You give us the strength, You give us the wisdom, You give us the power, God, to do the things that You ask us to do. Lord, we love You today. We thank You, we praise You, and we honor You in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. I believe the Word of God can change us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the entrance of His Word brings light. Right? The entrance of His Word brings light. When we're reading the Word, when we're going through the Word, the Spirit of God is with the Word. They're one. And He brings light to us, illumination. When we don't know what to do, glory to God, the best place you can go is the Word. Let me say that again. When you don't know what to do, I said the best place you can go is to the Word. You might say, what part of the Bible? I don't care. Right? I don't care. Just start reading the Word. Because there's power when you begin to read the Word of God. I can't explain it. I don't understand how it works, why it works. But I just know that He'll give you the Word through the Word. Thank You for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that's just two words. Be holy. Be holy. I said, be holy. That's probably not popular today. It may not even be culturally correct. Right? I don't care. Let me read this. Verse 15. It says, but as He who called you is holy. Anybody get called this morning? Anybody ever been called by the Lord? I mean, if you got saved, then you were called, right? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you're called. Let me read that again. But He who called you is holy. You also be holy with all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, when we say that, I don't know if any of you have ever been frustrated because you want to be holy. But sometimes you're not. Let me preach the wall up here. Sometimes you want to be holy, but you're not, because your thoughts go somewhere else. Your actions may go something. You might have triggers that send you somewhere else. But I'm telling you this morning that holiness and your effort for holiness will never work. But if you'll understand who you belong to and you'll run to Him, He who is holy will make you holy. Be holy because He's holy, right? When you're in Him, when you run to Him, when you hang around Him, you're holy. I remember and seen it over and over again where parents, good parents, are very concerned about the kids their kids are hanging around. And the reason is they don't want the influence of kids that aren't doing the right thing to fall on them and peer pressure to take over. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about peer pressure. But the peer pressure that I want to speak to you is His peer pressure. He's holy. So get with Him, it'll rub off. Right? Get with Him and it'll rub off. Hallelujah. Come on, He's holy. He wants you. He paid the price for you to be with Him. And when you're in His presence, you're holy. Because He's holy. Glory to God. You can't do holiness outside of Him. Let me just read to you a definition of holy. This is really funny. I took this note on my phone, and I believe it was God, because when I printed it out, it got to this font. They handed me a song today. What are you kidding? I can't read that. It's too small. But listen, the definition of holy. And we all think we know what holy is, and it's pretty honest that we do. But listen to this. Properly whole, entire or perfect in a moral sense. Hence, pure in heart, temper or dispositions, free from sin and sinful affections. Applied to the supreme being, holy signifies perfectly pure, immaculate and complete in moral character, and man is more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified or purified from evil dispositions. We call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God, and his life is regulated by divine precepts. Hence, holy is used as nearly synonymous with good, pious, godly. Be holy, for I am holy. Hallowed, consecrated, set apart for sacred use. We have been made holy. Do you know that? If you're born again, you've been made holy. But you've got to walk with holy to maintain holy. Right? Again, you've all read this verse, but in Galatians chapter 5, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When I first read that, I got it backwards, and I thought, if I can just not do the things of the flesh, then I can walk in the Spirit. Do you know how frustrating that is? I don't know about you, but every time I try not to do something, it becomes more active in my life, right? It's like, rah, rah, you know, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to say that again. I'm not going to... I said it again. I did it again. See, because when you're focused on your effort, you are the complete source or ability of you to conform. Let me tell you, you're not going to do it. You can't do it. That's why Jesus came. Right? That's why He came. That's why He came. Glory to God. So when I talk about being holy, and we are to be holy, we're not supposed to be doing the things that you already know you're not supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be thinking the things that you know you're not supposed to be thinking. How do I change? You get in His presence. You get into His Word. You get with holy. I said, you get with holy. You be with holy. Glory to God. I'm just simple enough to believe His Word. I'm just simple enough to believe words like He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, it kind of depends, though. I mean, if you're a stinker, I might go away. If you don't do exactly what's right, then I might leave you. No, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to chapter 2 for just a moment. Starting in verse 5. Oh, let's go to verse 2. As newborn babes, desire pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Babies like milk. They like a lot of it. They like it all the time. They want it all the time. Right? They desire it all the time. They got to have it. Right? They got to have it. So, like babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. If indeed You have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Anybody in here partaking of His grace? Right? Come on. God so loved the world. He loved me. Even when I was a sinner, He died for me. Come on. He's so gracious. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Who's that? I said, who's that? That's you. That's me, because we're in Christ. You also, as living stones, are being built up on spiritual houses, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus is our foundation. He's the foundational stone. And if you try to build on anything else, it's not going to work. Right? But your coming to Jesus was the start, was the beginning of you standing on the rock. Watch this. Again, I've used this illustration before, but if you don't have a foundation that is square, the rest of the house is going to be really difficult to build. Right? Even if it's off a little bit, by the time you get to the top, it's like, man, I got to cut this. I'm wasting plywood. I'm doing all kinds of things because the foundation wasn't laid straight. But for you, Jesus is your foundation. He's right. He's perfect. He's exactly where He's supposed to be. And you're in Him. I said, you're in Him. Your life of holiness and walking with God is all determined on Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus has decided to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise? Right? I qualify. I said, I qualify. Why? Because in myself, I'm less than. But I'm not by myself because I've been built on the foundation of Jesus. I'm not who I was before I got saved, because now my foundation is not on sinking sand, but it's on Christ, the rock on which I stand. Right? And He's holy. I said, He's holy. The rest of verse 8 says, they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you, I'm not stumbling. I said, you're not stumbling. Why? Because you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who did not obtain mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Glory to God. You see, I'm no longer who I was. I am who He said I am. I've been built on Jesus, and He's made me a choice and a chosen generation. Your holiness is not determined on your earthly DNA. Your holiness is based on your heavenly DNA. Come on. And the blood of Jesus has purified you, cleansed you from all unrighteousness. How in the world can I live holy as a Christian as I'm supposed to? How can I have my conduct the way it is? By staying in Him. By coming back to Him. The enemy is like this. He's going to try to tempt you and tempt you, and you're going to resist. and you're going to resist, and then you're going to resist. But you may at some point give in to that temptation. Right? And then what's he going to do? He's going to put his head or foot on your neck. You sorry thing. Who in the world are you? You call yourself a Christian? You've witnessed to your whole family that you're all of that. You're nothing but a hypocrite. You're nothing but... He's a liar. I said he's a liar. He's a liar. That might have been who I was, but I'm now in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, he's not a hypocrite. He's not a liar. He's not a scoundrel. And I've never bragged to you about how holy I am. I brag to you about how holy he is. And when I stand, I'm not standing in my holiness. I'm standing in his holiness. I wish God could just open the curtains of heaven and show us how he views us. Because he doesn't view you the way that you think he does. Because you think he views you based on your actions, whether they're good or bad. But the only thing that he bases his view of you on is the blood. I said, is the blood. Glory to God. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Holiness is not what you have. Holiness is who you are. Because you're in Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at some verses in the book of Romans. I love the book of Romans. Romans will have you scratching your head, raising your hands. But the more you meditate on it, the more it begins to become, you know, it's just an incredible book. But let's look for purposes today. Let's start out, we'll just start in verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Let me just ask you a question. Who separated him? Did he separate himself? Maybe his parents did. Maybe some man of God or some teacher, some prophet came and separated him. Who separated him? God did. God did. He was doing what God separated him to do. But he had to spend a lot of time unlearning what he learned and built the foundation on Jesus. Him crucified, and that's it. And we're going to see why, hopefully, this morning. Watch this now. Verse 2, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That is huge. Huge, huge, huge. He was a man, but he was fully God. He came in flesh and bone, and you could take a DNA sample and go back to Abraham and further back. You could, if he did one of the DNA test things, right? He could put his lineage back. But his blood was of royal descent. Watch this. This is so awesome. This is so awesome. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Watch this. He was always the Son of God. He didn't have to prove himself to be the Son of God for him to acknowledge that he was Son of God. Angels knew he was the Son of God. Demons knew he was the Son of God. But men did not. Men required proof. I said men required proof. the Spirit of holiness, right, was what caused him to have the ability to go before the throne of God, take his blood up to the throne of God, and have it declared acceptable. It's accepted. So watch this. The proof that he is who he said he was is the fact that he was raised from the dead and he's no longer living in a tomb that's in the Holy Lands. He is in heaven right now. Glory to God. But watch this. It was the Spirit of holiness that raised him from the dead. But did you know that your identification is not with your earthly parents, but it's with your heavenly Father? And the reason that you can have an identification with the Spirit of holiness is because that you're in Christ. Come on. Very familiar scriptures, but we're going to see this so clear. Go to chapter 6. We'll just do them in order, I think. Chapter 6. I'm going to read through this and then we'll comment on it. We're going to start in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to obey, you are the one's slave whom you obey, whether it's sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves to unrighteousness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in these things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. See, our condition before Jesus was we were a slave to sin. We couldn't help but sin. Don't worry about what sinners are doing. They're sinning because they're sinners. Right? But you and I are no longer sinners. I sin every day. Listen, I understand that we all mess up. But positionally, I'm in Christ. I'm identified with Christ. So I'm no longer a slave to sin, but now I'm a slave to righteousness. What does that mean? I am owned by righteousness. I'm no longer owned by sin. I'm owned by righteousness. And out of that righteousness comes the power to be holy. I'm owned by Jesus. I gave myself freely to Jesus, and He's now my Lord and Savior, and I'm in Him. And He gives me the power to live a holy life. Oh, that's so good. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. There's some Sundays where I feel like I just introduce it, And I've got to quit. And I'm not quitting for a while, so don't worry about that. Romans chapter 8, very familiar verses, but listen to them again. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with us, with our spirits, that we are the children of God. I'm a child of the Most High God because I'm born again, because Jesus became Lord of my life. I'm a son of God. I am a son of righteousness. I am holy because He's holy. I am holy positionally because He's holy. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. I can cry out, Abba, Father. And He covers my unrighteousness with the blood that was shed for my sins. He's presenting me before God as somebody that is chosen, that's holy. Glory to God. Well, what if I don't feel holy? Has nothing to do with it. What if I mess up? What if I, you know, what happens if I'm, you know, I'm backslidden? What happens? All you got to do is turn around and run to the Father. Don't run away from Him, run to Him. But He's holy. Yeah, that's it. That's the point. You need to get in His presence because His holiness will rub off on you. And you're welcome there because the blood of Jesus has given you permission to enter boldly into His throne of grace where you can find help for your sinning. So don't run from Him. Run to Him. Yeah, but, you know, I used to, when I, before God, I could just start singing hallelujah and be right in His presence. I don't feel anything right now. I don't care what you feel, stick with it. I said, I don't care what you feel, stick with it. Because the Spirit of God is the same, and He loves you the same. Hallelujah. I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 or 16 and 17, it says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. You are, if you've been born again, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? So how far do you have to go to be with holy? Well, I need to go to this church. I need to go to that church. I need to go to that rock over there where somebody appeared, and I because that's really a holy place. And I get it. Like, I need to go to, you know, this revival center. I need to go to that revival center because the anointing is there. I get it. And I love being in those places, but those places are not what make you holy. What make you holy is the presence of God in you. And if you're a believer, then you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How much more holy can you get than the Holy Spirit? Right? Holy Spirit, I want to hang around you today. Come on, talk to Him. Talk to Him every day like He's really there. Holy Spirit, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? I just want to hear from you today. But we can, because He's made us righteous. He's made us holy. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You're not holy because of your outer actions. You're holy because of His actions in your spirit. Now, am I saying, well, just you're holy, so just do whatever you want to do? That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, that's dumb. How many figured out that if you keep doing dumb things happen to you? Right, right, right. If you do right things happen to you. I remember Big John years ago, he came to men's group and he said, you know, it's amazing to me how nice my wife's become since I've been doing good things for her. Just a thought. You know. Yeah. Verse 4. just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Watch this again. Listen to this again. And get this. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before Adam fell, before anything was on this earth, before anything was here, He chose us in Him. You didn't choose Him, He chose you. You accepted Him and you accepted His plan for your life. And some who are in disobedience have chosen not to do that. But you made the choice. And before the foundation of the world, it says, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I don't fully get it. I got to be honest with you. But positionally, as far as God is concerned, because I'm in Christ, there's no blame associated with me. And the side of that is, there should be no longer the cloud of shame over you, because He's made you holy. Again, that we should be holy. I can't get holy on my own. I can't live holy on my own. You know, we use these titles. Oh, well, that's a holy man of God. Really? All of those people that you put up in that, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't honor people who live a righteous life, but what I'm saying is they still have thoughts that are contrary to God. They still make mistakes. They're still not perfect. Pride still comes up in them from time to time. The way that you get rid of it, though, is to spend more time with Him. And again, I'm not telling you that you've got to go to a monastery somewhere and get silent. And what I'm saying is that you need to be more aware of the holiness that is in you and give in to that, and you'll respond in kind. Watch this again. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption by His sons, by Jesus Christ, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I'm a child of God, and that's what makes me holy. It's His blood in me that makes me holy. I'm not trying to be holy. I am holy. What I'm trying to do is to let more of that holiness rise to the top and then come out as response to how I'm living my life. Now watch this. Go to chapter 5. Let me tell you, this has bothered me for years and years and years until I finally saw it. How many have ever heard that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle? I said this the other day. Well, then as far as I can see, He's never coming back. Why? Why? Because people get born again, and when they get born again, they're a mess. And they're not without spot or wrinkle. In fact, I've been saved since 1977. Don't do the math. It's a long time, right? I still have spots and wrinkles. Anybody that tells you they don't, well, exactly. Exactly. Why? Because I'm not perfect in my flesh, but I am perfect in my spirit. Whew. Glory to God. Look at this, verse 27 of chapter 5. That He might present her, talking about the church, to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So I said, see, He's coming back for a church that's without spot or wrinkle. That's not what it says. It says that He's going to present the church without spot or wrinkle. In Him, the church is going to be perfect. When you get to heaven, it's in Him that you are without spot or without wrinkle. As far as He's concerned, those wrinkles and the spots are already gone because He absorbed them in Himself. Glory to God. So He can come back anytime, right? Because His church in Him is without spot or wrinkle. Because the blood of Jesus doesn't do a halfway job. It does a full job. You know the verse, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. And I love the second part, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm holy because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my heart. I'm holy because He's holy. I'm holy because I'm in Him and He's holy. And if I'm in Him, He's holy, that makes me holy. And if I want to get rid of some things that in my life are not doing me good, I need to spend more time with Him. There's something about just reading the Word of God and spending time in the Word of God that will have you less focused on the things that you're struggling with. I remember going to Bible school, and at Bible school it was 4 hours of the Word. You go from one class to the next class to the next class, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And then when you got home, you had homework to do around the Word. So 6-8 hours a day sometimes, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. I can remember thinking about 4 months in, first of all, my mind was going, woo, woo, so much information, woo, woo, woo. But I didn't think about sinning. I just didn't think about it. It wasn't like I was trying to be better than I was before, but I didn't think about it. Why? Because I was saturated in His presence. Because His Word is with Him. If you're struggling with something, dive into the Word and just keep reading it. Just keep reading. What part? I don't care. Every part of it has life to it. Every part of it is full of His life. Don't run from the Word, run back to the Word. Begin to worship Him, begin to praise Him, begin to say. The great profession, the great confession is that He is Lord, and He's my Lord, and I'm in Him. Colossians chapter 1. We'll do a few in Colossians and then we'll close. Y'all doing okay? Come on. How many have struggled in your life with feeling? I mean, even saved, even, you know, born again. I know Jesus is Lord of my life, but a sense of worthlessness. I just don't measure up. I'm not as good as they. I mean, I look at other people and I think how godly they are, and I just, God, you know how much of a mess I am. I'm not perfect, God. I'm not. And the reality is, as you have the enemy lying to you, because your perfection is not in you and your actions, it's all based on His actions. Are you with me? Colossians chapter 1. I got to hurry. Verse 19 says this, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should the fullness dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on the earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, once being alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet He has now reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight." You see, you didn't get saved because you did something to earn the salvation. What you did is you recognized your position outside of His holiness and said, "I need somebody to take my place. Jesus, I'm all in." And the moment you did, He came all in to you, and He presents you without spot or wrinkle before the Father because He's holy. And you're presented in Him. All right, one more verse and then I'll close. Hallelujah. I've heard some say, well, Pastor, you can keep going, you can keep going. Well, my wife is in the back with the kids, and if I get going too long, no, hallelujah. Verse 12. Therefore, as elect of God, who's that? Let me ask you that again. Who's that? Can you say that I'm elect of God? If Jesus is Lord of your life, you can. I'm elect of God. That's what it says. Therefore, as elect of God, now watch this. Here is description of who you are. These are adjectives that are associated with your position. Holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But as the elect of God, I'm holy and beloved. And out of that position, I can act as He acts. Out of my position in Christ, I can act as He acts. But when I try to stand up on my own righteousness, things could get ugly. Not only for me, but for those that I'm around. Because then I'll start to put expectations on them that don't exist, that I can't maintain, that I can't do. But when I say, look, you're flawed, I'm flawed, we're all flawed, but let's come to God together. And in Him, we're flawless. And it's not that I want to just keep on sinning, but I know I shouldn't be sinning, and I can't stop on my own, but Lord, I'm just going to come before Your presence just like I am again. And I'm going to let Your holiness wash out those imperfections in me that I don't want. If you're struggling with holiness today, what I'm telling you is to press into Him more. Press into Him more. Don't stop coming around people who have your back. Don't stop coming around people who love you. Don't stop and isolate yourself because the abuser is exactly where he wants you. Abusers always want to isolate their victims. But we're no longer under the hand of the abuser. We're under the hand of Almighty God. Amen? Did you get something this morning? Well, let's pray. And if you're struggling with something, as the worship team comes up and you just want to come into His presence, just come on up here. We'll lay hands on you. We'll let His presence just saturate you. And the shame that you've been walking in, the guilt that you've been walking in, will be gone in Jesus' name. Father, we come before You in the matchless name of Jesus. You said in Your word, Lord, that if we'll believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that He's been raised from the dead, that's what signifies our holiness. That's what signifies His acceptance as our Savior. And Lord, we just thank You for that fact. If there's any listening, Lord, I just ask You to speak to them and draw them to Yourself. Let them in their heart know that they need You. And I ask You, Lord, to just put into their hearts to cry out to You right now in Jesus' name. If you're watching online and you feel like you're a complete failure in God, that's a lie. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you are one with Him. He's not against you. He's for you. His love is still there for you. Just get on your knees before God, or just speak to Him if you can't get on your knees and just say, Lord, here I am again. I love You because You love me. I want to just walk in Your holiness, Lord. I want to walk beside holiness. And You said You'd never leave me nor forsake me. So today, Lord, I'm just casting aside all of those thoughts that are contrary to Your word. And I'm just declaring boldly that I'm right with you because Jesus took my sin. So, Lord, because you're holy and I'm in you, I'm holy. Help me to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you joined online, just God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of our service. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Come on, let's just